And at this point, I'll invite children to come forward if we have any takers this week. We may not. It's a good week to go to the beach. But what I was going to tell the children was I was going to talk a little bit about the tapestries and Hussein. And what I was going to basically say is that as different as we are, and I think when you go and see the tapestries, I don't know how many of you can read them. Okay, a whole nother language. And what do they say? And that can be disconcerting. It can be, what does this mean? We don't know what these things say. And so one of my projects this week is to go and get a translation of each of them and bring them back so we kind of know what is being said and what is the ritual that they're celebrating. And I would say that as different as we can be, with all of our different languages, different customs, different foods we eat, different places we live, there's a lot that we have in common. And in fact, in this particular religious exchange, Hussein and Jesus share a great deal. They share a great deal in what they inspire the faithful to believe. So when I was in Iraq, it was all about hospitality and generosity and being especially extra kind, like we do at Christmas, to others. And as well as lifting up the principles of justice and truth for all people, and where anyone is oppressed, to work on being able to ease that oppression. And that commonality is so important and so much together that regardless of how we pray or how we do religious rituals or what language we speak, there's so much more that we have in common. And I think our quest, this is what I was going to tell the children, is to always look for what we have in common. And build on that. So, off you go to Sunday school.
The next reading is from Proverbs. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, come up here, than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. And the New Testament reading is from Luke. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous.
In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is either going to a meal, coming from a meal, or at a meal. In fact, many of the parables in Luke are parables, and the Gospels are parables about Jesus, have to do with meals and the ethics around meals. And the many references to meals in the Gospels serve to remind us that if the human race can learn to eat with justice, we can survive. If not, perhaps we won't. So it's appropriate that the central sacrament to commemorate Jesus is a meal. The kingdom of God, a symbol for justice on earth as it is in heaven, is the promise of the great feast. And lest we think this is pie in the sky when we die, the martyrs who sacrificed for justice throughout the millennia should disavow us of that. The gospel stories may come to us in symbolic form, but they address real day-to-day issues regarding food, regarding sustenance. It's not about heaven. It's about heaven on earth. And what is our part in that? What is our part in the petition of the Lord's Prayer that reads, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven"? As theologian Dominic Crossan, who visited us this past spring, likes to quip, "Heaven's doing fine. It's on earth that we have the problem." So this petition in the Lord's Prayer is also an invitation to those who pray it to participate in it. What are we doing to participate in the divine work of bringing heaven to earth? And this parable of Jesus provides some guidance. In this story, Jesus teaches about guests and hosts. He's at a meal with the leader of the Pharisees, apparently an important person, a big deal person, a person for whom one is fortunate to get an invite to the party. Jesus notices guests taking seats of honor. And there's a proverb about this, chapter 25, verses 6 and 7. "Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or standing in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, 'Come up here,' than to be put lower in the presence of a noble." And that's good practical advice. How to have a successful visit to a noble person. What to do and say and what not to do and say when visiting the queen, or attending a wedding, or hobnobbing with the wealthy and powerful. This is the kind of advice people write in books so you can make artful deals, score points with those you want to impress, and so forth. One could take the proverb and could take Jesus' teaching at that level. Just about how to get ahead. And we could leave it there. We could leave the teaching of Jesus at that pragmatic how to get ahead level, pretend to be humble, take the lowest seat so you can move up. But in the world of parables, a meal is not just a meal. A guest is not just a guest. And advice from Jesus is not just how to succeed in a world of hierarchies. The story ends with the eschatological punchline, "For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Jesus is talking to those of us with ears to hear about how to be a guest in God's kingdom, in God's earth, in this life, in this body. How are we guests on earth? Do we act as guests, first of all? Or do we think we own the place? Are we guests of earth or exploiters of earth? Are we conscious of our footprints? Is what we do with the bounty of earth based on equity for others with whom we share the land? And how will what we do today affect those who will be at the table generations from now? These may be the kinds of questions that this teaching invites us to consider. How are we humble guests to the bounty that is earth in the presence of God, however we might conceive of God? So far from being advice on how to get ahead, this parable can invite us to deeper reflection on reverence for life. As God said to Moses from the burning bush, "Take off your shoes. The ground you stand upon is holy." And then Jesus moves from guests to hosts. One thing about being a host with the most is that the most important people, all the cool kids, want to come to your house. And the success of your party is your guest list. How many hit makers are on it? And how many show up? How many favors can you collect and who will owe you? Again, Jesus teaches about humility. When you give a party, don't invite your friends or your family and the rich people. Invite those who can never return the favor. The poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. You will be blessed and repaid at the resurrection, says Jesus. So how are we hosts, and to whom are we hosts as we go through this very short life? If life's circumstances have provided us with the ability and resources to host others. How do we do it? Do we exalt ourselves, or do we exalt those who are excluded, not exalted? So when I think of what Jesus is saying, I also think of this weekend, Labor Day weekend, a day to honor those whose labor provides for the table. In Jesus' time, as now, it's not the laborers who often enjoy the fruits of their labor. They're not invited to the feasts, yet the feasts would never happen without them. How are the lives of those who have resources connected to those who have none? That's what it means to be a host. A host lifts up those who have been left out and put down. At least a host in the kingdom of God. Again, a parable about a meal is more than just a meal. It's about how to live as a guest and a host in a world that we did not create, do not own, have no right to claim, and yet have the opportunity to be a blessing. And Jesus concludes his teaching with another eschatological claim. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Or in other words, you will get no earthly benefit to the scorekeeping that is done by the value of this material world. You have to live for something else. Your moral compass must be set toward a true north, one not based on getting something back, but on giving all away. Today is also the first day of the month of Muharram. And on the 10th day of Muharram, which happens to be September 10th this year, is Ashura. That is the day the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad, Hussein, and his 72 family members were martyred in Karbala, Iraq, 1,441 years ago. And so for 2 weeks, Muslims, especially those who honor the Ahlul Bayt, or the family of the Prophet, mourn the martyrdom of Hussein. And it may remind us, it may have a little mirror image of what Christians do at Holy Week. Sayyid Mustafa Al-Qazwini, who I had a chance to meet in Los Angeles this year, writes this in his book, Shia Islam, about this martyrdom and what the people who commemorate it are doing. However, it must be kept in mind that Imam Hussein was not killed merely to be cried over, for he gave his life to save the message of Islam and was martyred to fight tyranny and oppression. The tears and sadness for Imam Hussein must bring about a solemn pledge to follow in the footsteps of the Prophet and his family in upholding justice and always standing up for what is right, and this is even more important than just crying for him. This year, members of the great Muhammad Prophet group, many of them students at Portland State University, have rented our space for their commemoration. It's an honor for us to provide this space for these holy observances. How might we be both guests and hosts in the spirit of Jesus? We are invited to be guests. In fact, I was told last night to make sure I told people in the church, thank you, and please come some night, just to come and visit and sit in, say hello, ask some questions. Now, the program here will be in Arabic. Nonetheless, you're invited to come, just observe, ask questions, say hello. And we should, of course, honor them as hosts as we are their guests in that situation, removing our shoes in the place of prayer. I never actually had my shoes off in the Peterson Gallery before. A new experience for me to experience that space in that way. Honor their customs regarding the entrances for women and men, and simply be yourself as a welcome guest. How are we also hosts? In this case, we are to care for our guests, making sure they have what they need to navigate the building, feel welcome by us when we meet them, and I would say, know what it is that we are doing. And as I interpret this, we are providing a sacred space for people, many of whom are new immigrants and guests to the United States. They are often misunderstood, often stereotyped. Perhaps Southminster can do just a little bit of a part to help change that. We are providing a space so that they can commemorate one of their most holy figures, who's not just holy for them, but like Jesus, holy for the world. They're giving us a gift, and we can honor that by making sure to share the space well, being patient with changes, and always recognizing the bigger picture. We can be guests and hosts, fitting of what Jesus taught, by moving beyond our comfort zones to an area of true humility. In addition to the events at the church that will be in Arabic, the Islamic Center has invited us to participate in the same program every evening, except it will be in English for these 2 weeks. There will be prayer, there will be a speaker who will say practical things about, you know, what Hussein means in practical lives and so forth, and fellowship available to us at 7:45 each night. So I hope each of you gets a chance to make the opportunity to greet those who are here at the church and the Islamic Center at some point during these 2 weeks. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. We say that prayer, or a version thereof, on Sundays. How might we live it? Certainly that's for each of us to decide based upon our own consciences and resources. But as a guiding principle, we have the honor and opportunity, simply by being alive, to participate in the divine will of bringing heaven to earth. What more is life for? Amen.